I was a millionaire in April 2012. April 2013, Paul, I have $400 to my name. That's it.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion, and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools, and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion, and purpose. My guest on the show today is Marcus Ogden, NFL player, entrepreneur, and in different times, keynote speaker. Marcus had some excellent family role models in his early years, and he was brought up to believe that anything is possible. In high school, a visiting NFL player inspired him to work towards a dream, and it was his dedication to focus and hard work that won him a scholarship and a place at Howard University in Washington, D.C. He graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Finance with an emphasis on construction and cost accounting. We'll get back to that one. But more than that, he was the first and only young man to be drafted while at college into the National Football League with the Jacksonville Jaguars, playing offensive lineman. Now, the average NFL player gets 18 to 24 months at the professional level. Marcus stayed at that level for 6 years, building a solid career with the Jaguars, the Baltimore Ravens, the Buffalo Bills, and the Tennessee Titans. As said, he played well beyond the average years, but the body can only take so much before the injuries get serious. At 27 years, he hung up his helmet and padding and went to find life as an entrepreneur. That degree in construction paid off, as did his dedication to hard work and focus. It allowed him and his business partner to create one of the fastest growing construction companies in Baltimore, Maryland for 2010. However, rapid growth can lead to a significant fall, and that fall was deep. Within 3 years, he had lost everything, his home, his cars, and his pride. I was a millionaire in April 2012, and by April 2013, I had just $400 to my name. When playing for the NFL, Marcus was on $20,000 a week. After his crash and bankruptcy, and lots of searching, the only work he could find was a custodian on the graveyard shift, at $8.25 an hour. Our conversation is the journey of the highs and lows and the recovery. It takes time and dedication to get back on track, and it is a beautiful story of rediscovery and contribution. Today, Marcus has a mission to inspire accountability within people so they rediscover their own passion and drive to get on and achieve their own greatness. He's currently a keynote speaker, executive coach, and best-selling author. I hope you enjoy the conversation with Marcus Ogden. So look, my friend, we had an amazing conversation today while I was kind of hastily back getting from shopping, and I hadn't realized my meeting was due with you. And so we ended up with a very strange conversation with me on a bike, which I thought was really weird.
Love it.
But you blew me away with our conversation. Absolutely blew me away with that conversation in terms of your journey. And I was so delighted when you said, yes, let's do this. So thank you for being here today. So now look, for my audience, tell us a bit more about what has been the journey. I know you started in football, so American football, that is. So do tell us more about it. Tell us the journey.
So, you know, Paul, I went to Howard University in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. I from there was drafted into the National Football League with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jack Del Rio was my coach, who is now the defensive coordinator for the Washington football team. And it was a great experience, Paul, like being drafted to the NFL. You know, I'm the first and only offensive lineman to be drafted from Howard to the NFL, still to this day. And it's been a really, really great experience. You know, it was great playing in the NFL, lots of great friends, lots of great leadership skills, lots of great, you know, integrity, great culture, great competition. And I loved it, Paul. It was just a lot of hard work, of course, but the work was well worth the reward.
Hard on the body, I imagine. Very hard on the body.
Very hard on the body. It was a lot of, you know, physical ailment. You went through a lot of pain, went through a lot of trying to always do and be your best physically and mentally. It was absolutely, Paul, one of the most difficult experiences on my body that I ever had in my life.
I don't suppose you can do that for long, can you really? I mean, I guess there must be a limited life, that limited time that you can actually put your body through that level of punishment.
I agree. So some players are very fortunate, like Tom Brady, who's 43, Drew Brees, who's 42. You know, those are very uncommon things to happen in football. Most people play for about a year to year and a half at the professional level, and then their bodies start to go through some type of ailment. And usually what happens from there, Paul, when their bodies are damaged, it becomes like cattle that's damaged, and they don't want to pay high dollar anymore. And sometimes, unfortunately, the players are not allowed to continue to play because nobody wants to pick them up due to their body ailments. So it's definitely something that you cannot do for long at all.
How long did you survive in the business then?
You know, Paul, that's, you know, I really trained my body well. I got almost 6 years in the NFL. I trained my body very hard. I pushed myself hard, but I was also very fortunate. I didn't have any major injuries. I did have some back issues, some knee issues, some shoulder issues, but I never had any type of real surgeries or torn ligaments, things of that nature, which allowed me to fortunately keep playing at in the NFL at a high level to be able to have a good career in the National Football League.
So, I mean, is that a high paid job? I know some of the top footballers, English footballers in this country, get paid big bucks. I mean, is the NFL the same kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely, Paul. If you're one of the high paying guys, you could make somewhere as 40 or 30, 40, even $50 million a year.
Wow.
Playing this sport. Absolutely.
Were you in that league?
Oh, no, not in that. Because when I played, we didn't have it like, you know, for us in that level. So I was making seven figures, but not to that level because it wasn't to that degree. But as the game has evolved, Paul, and more people have been watching on TV with bigger TV contracts, the players have been starting to make more money than they did prior, which is good because the owners should make money, absolutely, but the players who have their bias at risk should make good money as well.
Yeah. So of course. So what pulled you out of this? I mean, getting drafted into this yourself, it must be quite an ego boost being pulled into this.
It definitely was, Paul. And my back ended up having some major issues near the end of my career. And because I really recognized that my body was not recovering like it used to, and that I wasn't able to play at the highest level anymore like I was wanting, I made the decision to no longer play the game and move on with my life.
How old were you then?
I was almost 28 years old.
Oh, yeah. So that's the kind of time that people often make big changes in their life, 28. 28 is that cusp change. Most people go through that one.
Yeah, right before you turn 30, because what you're hoping is your 20s are kind of like, you know, you make your mistakes, you do life, you learn. You hope in your 30s you've made some wiser decisions and you're starting to get yourself on a better path. Right, Paul, to make better decisions. And then in your 40s, I just turned 40 this year. Hopefully, you know what you're wanting to do in life. You can kind of just roll through life working towards what you know you want to accomplish.
That's interesting. I'm in my late 50s and still working that one out. So I'm very impressed. So where was your passion in this? I mean, obviously, I guess football is a big passion for you. And I guess is it still a passion for you?
No, Paul, I love the game. I love watching it. I enjoy the sport. But today, my passion is helping people have success. It's helping to inspire accountability in others to achieve their goals. You know, I'm a speaker now. I'm a coach, a consultant. I've written several best-selling books. And this is my life's work, Paul. I'm very fortunate to be 40 years old and know exactly what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Fantastic. But when you were, you know, in the game, when you were in the NFL, what was your passion then?
When I was in the game, Paul, my passion was really football, but my passion was also the youth. I love doing speaking jobs for the youth around, you know, inspiration, you know, around how education over sports. You know, I love doing things about how to be a good student, to be good in the community, how to listen to your parents. So when I was playing football, I even had a passion for speaking. Now, of course, I had no business experience, so I didn't do anything corporate related whatsoever, like I do today. But I had a huge passion, Paul, for the youth. So I did a lot of things for the youth to help them get into better positions to have success.
But you in that position where you were as a football player and everything else, you had a I can't remember the word I'm looking for, but you'd have been a platform and a role model for people to see, because you were obviously at the peak of your physical condition at that point. So you were a good role model for those young people, I imagine.
Yes, sir. And that's what happens is, you know, when athletes come and talk to young students, it inspires the athletes. I'll never forget, Paul, when I was in high school, one of my teammates' first cousins played for the New York Giants, and he came and talked to us about life, making better decisions, hard work. And that really inspired me when I was a freshman in high school to push myself to a higher level and try to work as hard as I could to be talented enough to play football, hopefully do well in high school. But also I was really, really hoping, Paul, to get a college opportunity after hearing that talk from that gentleman.
Wow. So look, you came out of NFL and you went into business on your own?
Yes, I did. I got into construction, Paul. I took a couple courses at some different universities here in America, and I really enjoyed them. But I launched the business in 2008, and I got into working for construction and development and real estate. Did a lot of commercial work, did concrete work, and then we got into demolition. And then eventually, Paul, at our height, we got into big multifamily real estate, and we got into also doing site work like earth moving, stone, dirt, you know, things like that.
How did you start a business? How did you do that? Because that's quite some shift from kicking a ball about to, you know, shifting dirt and that sort of thing, isn't it?
So I ended up, you know, going to some programs about construction. And then I met my business partner through my attorneys, and we ended up striking up a great partnership. And he had experience, Paul, in the operation side of the business. And I had experience in the side of being a marketer, strategy, collecting, you know, dollars that we were owed. So it worked out very well for us in that regard. But it didn't last long because, unfortunately, Paul, we had a lot of success our first few years. We became the largest African-American minority subcontractor in the area of site work and utilities in the city of Baltimore and the state of Maryland for 2 years. Mm. But unfortunately, Paul, my partner didn't have the experience that I really thought he had. And by the time I found that out, it was too late. We were already over leveraged into some different big projects, and we had bonds on the line, our house was on the line, all these different things. And as a result of that, Paul, we got into a really big project with a client. And when that client asked us to do some change order work, I trusted them, and I didn't get a contract because I felt that we were working for them on other jobs. They liked us. They were going to take care of us. They promised us to not have anything happen to us. And we had almost a $3 million change order, Paul, that we took to the contract and developed to get repaid for our work that we had completed. And they denied the change order, Paul. And that's when I had to start the process of filing a Chapter 7 bankruptcy.
Wow. That's such a common thing. That is, I mean, I've heard this before, and it's the same in this country as well. You know, it's like building and construction is one thing, but actually it's all about contract law.
Everything's about contracts, Paul.
It's about contract law. It's like what nth degree of who can you pass the debt on to someone else? Where can you shove that money? Because obviously the money you're not paying out is the money in your pocket, isn't it?
Absolutely. And here's the thing, my good friend, is that they took full advantage of us. And you know what? It was all my fault because I never should have done that work, Paul, without a change order. But I was young. I was very impressionable. I trusted people easily. I was naive. And I literally was feeling the pressure, Paul, every day. Get this work done. Get this work done. Yeah, like, well, yeah. What about a change order? Well, don't worry about that. We'll take care of you. Get this work done. We're behind schedule. And the funny thing, Paul, that job was supposed to be completed by like 2015. It didn't get completed, Paul, until almost 2018.
Wow.
So they were 3 years behind schedule anyway. After all that work we did, and that job put several, not just us, several contractors, Paul, out of business.
So there you are. You've had this amazing journey right the way through, and then suddenly you've hit a dead stop because now you've gone bankrupt. And I guess you lost everything, did you?
Lost my home was foreclosed on and taken away from me by the bank. When I moved to Raleigh, we got down here, drove down here. Both of our cars were repossessed, Paul, on the same day. When I got here, I had $400 to my name, Paul. I was a millionaire in April 2012. April 2013, Paul, I have $400 to my name. That's it.
What do you do when you've got $400 to your name?
Paul?
What's the first thing that goes through your mind?
Well, you know what, Paul? The first thing that went through my mind was I was preparing to go homeless. Literally, I knew after giving the deposit for our place and everything else, going homeless, unless I could talk the landlord to letting us stay there while my check was on the way, which is going to be 4 weeks later, I didn't see that happening. And I had never known him. He had never known us. And he could have threw us out with a clause within the first month if we didn't pay our rent. That was a clause in his contract. And we signed it. And we almost went homeless. Well, my wife didn't. My wife was going to live with her parents and with my stepdaughter. Mm. But I, who didn't know her parents very long, was going to go live in a homeless shelter in my area till I got myself together. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, Paul, the NFL started in January of that year a new program called the Gene Upshaw Trust Fund. And they helped players who could prove financial hardships, they helped you get funding to pay your bills. They won't give you the money, but they'll pay it to your creditors. And that's what they did. And without them, Paul, I would have gone bankrupt. I would have gone homeless. I already went bankrupt, but I would have gone homeless.
So the NFL stepped in and saved you again, which is amazing, isn't it? It's lovely.
Yes, lovely story. Absolutely. And I give them praise, Paul, every time I speak. I thank them because, Paul, I was done. I was not playing football any longer.
No,
they didn't have to do that. And that fund was designed and created to help former players who just hit a hard spot in life. That's what it was designed to do. And I took full advantage. And then what's happening, Paul, they paid our rent and our bills for 4 months. I did get fired from my job at Merrill Lynch after 2 months, all my fault. Got to a construction company, Paul, the next day after being fired. Fired again, Paul, 5 days later. And the only job I could get, Paul, was a custodian, making $8.25 an hour on the graveyard shift.
That must have been a bit different from what you're used to.
That's putting it lightly, Paul. And that's what I did, Paul. I worked from 10 p.m. till 5 a.m. on the graveyard shift.
Oh, hang on. Let's try and get this into perspective. When you played a game, roughly, what did you earn for playing a game?
Oh, I would get my checks were anywhere between, at the height of my career, they were about $80,000 to $100,000 a week. Before tax, and then some probably around like $100,000 before tax, around $80,000 after tax. And then when I started in the league, my checks were $20,000 a week, and I would get $14,000 after tax. So that's kind of what I was making at the time.
Yeah, wow. So yeah, $8 was a bit eye-watering for you, I'm sure. But hey, it was money you didn't have before you started. So,
well, here's the thing, Paul. I had to take care of my family. Family needed me. And you know what, Paul? That's one thing I feel a lot of people sometimes, their ego gets in the way. And that's how I lost my business, Paul. I did not listen to my best employee. My best employee tried to tell me, Marcus, if we don't watch ourselves, we are going to go bankrupt. That's what he told me. And because I didn't listen to him, Paul, I made mistakes.
Yeah.
And if I had listened to him, Paul, I would have never gone into the situation that we were in, and we would have never gone bankrupt. And all the things that happened to me would not have happened because I would have been a better person who could listen to people and not just try to always think that they know everything.
Yeah, it's interesting. So obviously you must have moved on from this custodian work. What was the next part of the story?
Great question, Paul. So I ended up having I call it my pivotal moment. It's my life-changing aha moment where somebody's trash, rotten meat, banana peels, everything horrible, protruding, nasty smelling, Paul, got all over my body, my bare skin, my clothes. And that was the moment where I said, wow, if I don't make a change right now, I will literally be here, Paul, for the rest of my life. Always blaming other people, always talking about what happened to me, always talking about how it was my contractor's fault, my employee's fault, my partner's fault, yada, yada, yada. But I didn't want to do that. So I made the process and I made the decision, Paul, after that spoiled milk moment, to get my life back on track. And as a result of that, Paul, I said, I want to be a speaker. I came home and I wrote down my three biggest strengths and what I wanted to do. And I started this business, Paul, so I could help former NFL athletes not go bankrupt like I did. Uh-huh. And like anything else, Paul, in life, when you start something, you start where? At the bottom. Mm-hmm. I was right at the bottom. And what happened is, Paul, I ended up, you know, going for 2.5 years, Paul, without a paid job. 2.5 years, I was told no, Paul, on every job I went after. Everyone. Wow. And then I finally got my first paid job, Paul, with Miller Mott College, a small little college in Wilmington, North Carolina, at their 100th commencement graduation speech. And I got that job, Paul, and I tweaked some things. I opened up my mind. I realized that my passion was great, but I had to learn how to be more humble and how to help people. And I changed my attitude, Paul, and I started to open up, become more of a learner, and I stopped talking as much, and I started to learn a lot more. And in the last now, Paul, it'll be 5 years in April, I got my first pay job. In the last 5 years, Paul, I've worked for 19 Fortune 500 companies, 19. Wow. And I've turned it around. I've written 2 best-selling books. I am a consultant for major organizations. And as a result of this, Paul, very, very excited about where our brand is going. But again, it was a lot of hard work to get here. And my life has been up and down all around, but I've enjoyed the process. But I tell everybody always, it's not been easy to get where I am today. It has not been easy at all.
So it sounds to me like my next question is sort of to all my guests is about success. It's about defining success. And so obviously when you were in the NFL, success was winning games. But
yep.
And when you were in your construction company, the success was winning business. Or was it? Is success different for you? What's the model that you operate as? Where do you find success?
So success to me, Paul, success is in the eye of the beholder, right? So when I was in football, winning games, having great, high score, all that kind of stuff. In construction, it was winning jobs, executing what we need to get done, getting our jobs done on time, under budget. That was success. Today, Paul, as a speaker, my success is how our clients have success. That's my success. Because at the end of the day, if our success aligns to our clients having major success, then we're primed for greatness. Mm. But if my job was only about what I could do, how many jobs I could get, then that's exactly why, Paul, for 2.5 years, I didn't have one paid speaking job. Mm-hmm. Not one.
So what did you do in that time when you're not getting paid for speaking jobs?
So I was working, Paul. I did football training for kids. I ran 707 football camps. I was a birthday party clown, playing football with kids at their birthday parties. Literally, Paul, I did anything and everything that I had to do to get things done.
Yeah. That sounds amazing. Yeah, that the success question is always interesting to me because society has this model. I mean, you know, the American dream is based on the model of that success journey, and yet most people, a lot of people, when they get there, often discover it's not as rewarding as they were hoping it would be. It's interesting. Your definition of success is other people's success rather than your own, and that's quite nice.
Yeah, because here's the thing, Paul, like if I'm not helping our client base win, then what am I doing?
Yeah.
All I'm doing is I'm literally getting in the way of people having their own success, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the next question for me is this thing about contribution. And clearly you have contributed a lot, but what do you see as your contribution?
My contribution, Paul, is sharing my experiences to help people have success where I failed. Mm-hmm. That's my contribution. My life lessons, my ups, my downs, my all arounds to help you be better positioned so you don't end up like I did, filing a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, being almost homeless, having nowhere to go, having no one to turn to, not having any type of real understanding of how to position yourself to move forward in life because you're always, you know, you're just always living by the seat of your pants. You have no organizational skill sets. So that's what I'm all about.
Mm. Yeah, contribution is an interesting one, isn't it, really? Because sometimes we never know how we contribute. We never know. I mean, you go out and speak at events when you can go out and speak at events, of course. You never know the impact you have in the room.
Oh, you never do. I mean, because, you know, and it's just like what I love so much, Paul, people coming up to me, Marcus, thank you so much for your words. Thank you so much for your kindness. Thank you so much for you know, sharing with me your story. I can relate. A lot of people, Paul, I find when I tell my story will come up to me and say, I had a bankruptcy. I had a hard time. But until you open up and tell people as a speaker your story, your truth, people are afraid to say how they've been because they don't want to be judged.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. It's like it's being able to be open with that and allow people to see. It gives people permission to do the same.
Correct.
Yeah. So what is it that I appreciate you're a speaker now. What is it that you do in terms of a business? Do you do courses and training or is it?
Yep. I do all that. So I do keynote speaking. Mm-hmm. I do online workshops. I do virtual talks. We have online material. We do consulting. We're a brand ambassador. We have our books. You know, we have our brand is centralized, Paul, around helping people be accountable, inspiring accountability within people. So all the different facets of our brand help us make money to be able to do what we love to do. And I went full time with this business, Paul. 2018, I went full time. And then I was still doing some football coaching on the side with kids. And then 2020, when the pandemic hit, I stopped that altogether. So now we've gone full time with this since 2020, not doing any other type of football training, anything like that. So very fortunate, Paul, to have a very diverse group of clients that we're able to service with our message and with our work.
Lovely. So who are you looking to speak to? Who's your ideal client you like to work with?
What I love speaking to, Paul, are salespeople. Uh-huh. Any organization, any type of industry, anybody that's in sales that's struggling, because sales is an art form, a confidence that you build based off the strength of your brand. Your brand is strong and you can have others vouch for your brand, sales can be done with so much more continuity than trying to come out there and just talk about how great you are all the time without really focusing on who you have done work for to help you get to that next level.
Yes, of course. So how would people get in touch with you if they want to?
Oh, they can go to our website, Paul, www.marcusogden.com. Connect with us. Hit us up. Send us an email. marcus_ogden@yahoo.com. Just chat with us. We're all about connecting. We're all about just having conversations. Podcasts, I love doing those. I love interacting with people. That's the way for our business of speaking, consulting, et cetera. Doing things like this are phenomenal because you can get your message out to people and you never know who's listening.
You never know who's listening. It's very true. It's very true. So are you on social media, LinkedIn, that sort of stuff?
I am, yes. Yeah. So people can go to my link. I'm on Instagram at Marcus Ogden, Twitter at Marcus_Ogden, and Facebook, Marcus Ogden.
All of those links will be on the podcast notes above so people can find them and at the various websites. It's fantastic. So Marcus, thank you so much for being with me and having this conversation with me. Our final question that we ask all of our guests, and this is the big one, the big question that everyone has to kind of deal with somehow, is what is the meaning of life for you?
The meaning of life for me, Paul, is using the time you have here on Earth. None of us know how long or short it's going to be, and making a positive impact and creating a legacy in which others can follow and can shine their light and be a beacon of light and hope in their own lives for greatness. So using your life as a catalyst, as a self-starting engine for people to go to where they want to go in life.
That's lovely. Thank you for that one. That's really inspiring.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.
Well, Marcus Ogden, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your story with us. It's been a joy to have you on the podcast. Thank you.
Have a great day, Paul. Thanks for having me on, my friend.
All the best.
And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Marcus Ogden. If you would like to catch up with Marcus, you can find him at marcusogden.com, on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. So if you are enjoying this podcast, please, please, please like, subscribe and follow because it all benefits us. Share this podcast, tell people about it because that's how we grow. And if you can find the time to go to iTunes and leave us a review, send me a copy of that review, an image, a screen grab, I will send you a free gift as a token of my appreciation. It is so amazing what a few reviews can do for a podcast. Anyway, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for your time and attention, and I will catch you later. All the best.